Morning, everybody. If you would turn with me to Matthew chapter 19. Okay. Matthew chapter 19. When Jesus had finished these words, he departed from Galilee and came into the region of Judea beyond the Jordan. And large crowds followed him, and he healed them there. Some Pharisees came to Jesus, testing him and asking, "Is it lawful for a man to divorce his wife for any reason at all?" And he answered and said, "Have you not read that he who created them from the beginning made them male and female, and said, 'For this reason a man shall leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. So they are no longer two, but one flesh. What therefore God has joined together, let no man separate.'" They said to him, "Why then did Moses command to give her a certificate of divorce and send her away?" He said to them, "Because of your hardness of heart, Moses permitted you to divorce your wives. But from the beginning, it has not been this way. And I say to you, whoever divorces his wife, except for immorality, and marries another woman, commits adultery." The disciples said to him, "If the relationship of the man with his wife is like this, is it better not to marry?" But he said to them, "Not all men can accept this statement, but only those to whom it has been given. For there are eunuchs who were born that way from their mother's womb, and there are eunuchs who were made eunuchs by men, and there are also eunuchs who made themselves eunuchs for the sake of the kingdom of heaven. He who is able to accept this, let him accept it." Then some children were brought to him so that he may lay his hands on them and pray, and the disciples rebuked them. But Jesus said, Let the children alone and do not hinder them from coming to me, for the kingdom of heaven belongs to such as these." After laying his hands on them, he departed from there. And someone came to him and said, "Teacher, what good thing shall I do that I may obtain eternal life?" And he said to them, "Why are you asking me about what is good? There is only one who is good. But if you wish to enter into life, keep the commandments." Then he said to him, "Which ones?" And Jesus said, "You shall not commit murder, you shall not commit adultery, you shall not steal, you shall not bear false witness, honor your father and mother, and you shall love your neighbor as yourself." The young man said to him, "All these things I've kept. What am I still lacking?" Jesus said to him, "If you wish to be complete, go and sell your possessions and give to the poor, and you'll have treasure in heaven, and come, follow me." But when the young man heard this statement, he went away grieving, for he was one who owned much property. And Jesus said to his disciples, "Truly I say to you, it is hard for a rich man to enter the kingdom of heaven. Again I say to you, it is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter the kingdom of God." When the disciples heard this, they were very astonished and said, "Then who can be saved?" And looking at them, Jesus said to them, "With people this is impossible, but with God all things are possible." Then Peter said to him, "Behold, we have left everything and followed you. What then will there be for us?" And Jesus said to them, "Truly I say to you, that you who have followed me in the regeneration, when the Son of Man will sit on his glorious throne, you also shall sit upon 12 thrones, judging the 12 tribes of Israel. And everyone who has left houses or brothers or sisters or fathers or mother or children or farms for my name's sake, will receive many times as much and will inherit eternal life. But many who are first will be last, and last first." Amen. Let's pray. Our Father, Lord, we just come before you this morning, so grateful for this day, a new day that you have made, Lord, that you are so good and faithful and always in control, Lord. And we just want to offer this time to you, Lord. Would you come and speak to us, Lord? Speak touch our hearts, give us a mind to understand your truth, and give us revelation, Lord, that would really speak into our lives, Lord. And we thank you. We just pray all this in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. So in this chapter, it begins with the Pharisees coming to Jesus, and they kind of want to trap him, as usual. And they're asking him regarding the subject of divorce. And during this time, there were two views for divorce. And there was the view that was there was a view by Rabbi Shammai, which was a very strict view. And then there was the view by Rabbi Hillel, which was more the lax view. And this lax view, why there was differing views regarding divorce, was because of what Moses instructed in Deuteronomy chapter 24, verse 1. And what it says in Deuteronomy from Moses, he said, "When a man takes a wife and marries her, and it happens that she finds no favor in his eyes because he has found some indecency in her, and he who writes her a certificate of divorce and puts it in her hand and sends her out from his house." So the reason there's differing views is because the word that was used was indecency. Other translations might say uncleanliness. And because of this, there's a lot of different interpretation. So for the strict view, which was not as popular by Rabbi Shammai, it was if you commit adultery. And the more popular and probably more embraced worldly view was by Rabbi Hillel. And when it says, you know, if your wife commits some sort of indecency, it was freely interpreted to anything, to almost anything that you felt was inappropriate. So it could be, you know, your wife, if they burnt your dinner, then it's like, oh, she committed an indecent act. Divorce. Or other examples would be if she spoke really loud, like she was just being really loud and causing a scene, oh, indecent. Divorce. So it was really the halal lax view was very open to what would be considered culturally as if a woman, your wife, did something that she shouldn't, then it was okay to divorce. So, but this was the popular view. So what the Pharisees were trying to do was trying to make Jesus choose, right? If you if he embraced this popular view, then he doesn't really respect the law. You know, he's not hardcore. But if he embraced the hardcore Shammai view, then he would be going against the general public. So Jesus knows this, and he doesn't really answer according. He doesn't choose. What he says is he refers back to Genesis and creation, right? And he says, "For this reason, a man shall leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh, so they are no longer two, but one. What therefore God has joined together, let no man separate." So he's saying, he's pointing it back. He's not pointing at divorce, but he's pointing at marriage, right? Basically, the Pharisees have this very negative view, but he's saying, why are you so focused on this issue of divorce? The point is not divorce. The point is marriage, you know? The point is we were created to be one. And we do that as well. I mean, just in life, right? We are sometimes so focused on sin, right? But then instead of being focused on Jesus. And it's just the mental attitude or the attitude we just have created in our minds. And it's just not being very positive. And I remember even in my relationship with Janie early on, for whatever reason, whenever we fought, for a long time, whenever we fought, for whatever reason, she would get so upset. I mean, obviously it's normal when you fight to get upset, right? Because you're fighting. But what I mean is she would get so upset and almost sad, like, about our relationship. So it's like if we fought, she'd be like, oh, like, look, this is what we are. And then I was like, what? And I was like always so confused because for me when we fight, we're just like trying to figure out stuff, right? And then it wasn't until later we finally realized the reason is with every fight that we had, it would define our relationship. Like it was like, oh, we're going to break up. But for me, it was a different mindset. And then it wasn't until I finally, you know, reassured her and kind of be like, hey, why are you thinking like this? Why do you think every time we fight, like it means this is what, this defines our relationship or this means we're going to break up? We're just improving our relationship, right? So it was just a totally different mindset. In the same way, Jesus is trying to redirect their focus. And it's not about divorce. The whole point of God's creation and man and woman coming together, it's about marriage. But still, the Pharisees still come at Jesus. And they're like, well, what about what Moses said, right? He said, Moses commanded to give her a certificate, to give her a certificate of divorce and send her away, right? But Jesus replies, it is because of your hardness of your heart that Moses permitted you to divorce. So the problem here is the Pharisees have taken this as a command. Like, oh, if she commits adultery, God has commanded us to divorce. But no, it's not a command. It is just simply permission. Because he says, but from the beginning, it has not been this way. And I say to you, whoever divorces wife except for more immortality and marries another woman commits adultery. So even in the midst of adultery, Jesus says, it's not still God's intention if someone commits adultery that you should get a divorce, right? It's actually, that's not the intention. In fact, you are one flesh. That's forever. But he says, but because of your hardness of heart, right, you're permitted to do it. You're permitted. And then, of course, the disciples are like, oh, man, this is so hard then. He says, if a relation of the man with his wife is like this, is it better not to marry? And Jesus basically instructs, no, because not all men can accept this. Basically, there's three categories of people who perhaps can accept this, and that is eunuchs who were born that way, eunuchs who were, it was made by men, like it was caused to them by circumstances, and then is eunuchs who made themselves eunuchs for the sake of the kingdom of heaven. So people who are choosing to abstain from marriage so then they can fully focus on pursuing and fulfilling God's purposes. And how do you know if that's you? Well, I guess part of it is prayer, but I read somewhere how you would know is if basically not only would you have peace about being single for God, but also if the flesh would never stumble you. So you just have to be mentally and genetically okay that you would not be so impacted by the flesh. And then I'm going to skip to rich young ruler. So the rich young ruler comes to Jesus and he asks, he says to him, teacher, what good thing shall I do to obtain eternal life? And he says, why are you asking me about what is good? There is only one who is good, but if you wish to enter eternal life, keep the commandments. Then he said to him, which ones? And then Jesus lists the commandments, but he doesn't list all of them, right? He actually only lists the commandments that pertain to relationship with man, right? So you can see, or with people, you say murder, adultery, do not steal, you should not bear false witness. And then after he lists these, I guess, relational commandments, the rich young ruler still knows, he's saying, oh, I do those things, but I'm still lacking something. So he's very aware, seemingly, he's doing everything he should, but there's still something lacking. And then Jesus says to him, if you wish to be complete, go and sell your possessions and give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven, and come follow me. Come and follow me. So I never caught this ever until I read it today, actually this morning. But Jesus challenges this rich young ruler, and he knows what's going on in his heart. And what's going on in his heart is possessions, materialism has a grasp on his heart. And he's looking to these things to satisfy him. But they don't, because he still realizes there's something lacking. So Jesus targets that thing in him and asks him to give it up. But this is a thing that I never caught. And he says at the end, come, follow me. When else has he asked or said to people, come and follow me? It's to the disciples, right? Basically, I was like, oh, he's inviting him to be one of, you know, the disciples. Wow, that's crazy. That's crazy. He could have, if he was willing, he could have been one of the disciples, perhaps. But instead, he was so fixated on the fact that this thing that was holding on to him, the material possessions, that he couldn't even see the part where it's like, oh, come and follow me. Live this life where, I guess, you know, all the disciples lived so full and basically become legends. And then Jesus says to his disciples, truly I say to you, it is hard for a rich man to enter the kingdom of heaven. And it says, it is easier for a camel to go through the eye of the needle than a rich man to enter the kingdom of heaven. And there's different explanations of what that means. Like, it is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle, but I'm not going to focus on that. But we all kind of know what it means is it's impossible, or it's really, really hard, almost impossible. And we just came from, we just had Poverty Sunday, and what we learned was we all have poverty in us, right? Whether you have a lot of money, you can still feel lacking, just like the rich young ruler, right? Despite having everything, despite in his head knowing he's doing everything that he should be, there's still something lacking, right? But there is one difference between someone who has, you know, a rich young ruler who's has that spirit of poverty in him and someone who has nothing and has that spirit of poverty. And the difference is someone who actually has nothing or their circumstances are that they have nothing and they're so poor, their response will be to cry out to God. Versus someone who has a lot, they might not cry out to God. They'll say, God, I'm very dissatisfied, but in terms of like, I need you and I'm willing to, I guess, give up everything I have to follow you. I don't know, because I don't know if they might make that call out because they're already so satisfied. They have everything they need. And what they've been, even though they know what's lacking in them, they're still pursuing that, right? Which is money, finances. So, invite Janelle up. And then at the end of that section, the disciples say, then who can be saved? And looking at them, Jesus said to them, with people, this is impossible, but with God, all things are possible. So as Janella leads us in worship, I think the point is we have to be sure, we have to be sure of what our focus is on, right? Sometimes we're focused on the wrong things. You see this in the section on divorce. Jesus is saying, why are you guys so focused on divorce? The point is not divorce. The point is marriage. And you see this again with the rich young ruler. He's so focused on what he needs to do, what he needs to accomplish, right? What he has to give up. Oh, I have to sacrifice this. I have to sell all my possessions. I need to follow these rules. But really what he should have been focused on is what Jesus says at the end. Come and follow me. Come and follow me. The focus, our purpose, our motivation, it should be Jesus. And just let those words, come and follow me, just really minister to you, that all those things that are in our lives, that are holding on to us, that is giving us stress and pressure, just let those words, come and follow me, just release you from all those things, all the bondage, all the heaviness that we have. Come and follow me. Thank you. I'd like to just take this moment to allow Holy Spirit to speak to you. And just as this rich young ruler, he was challenged by Jesus to give up his possessions, because that was what was holding on to his heart and hindering him from really experiencing freedom and fulfillment. Let's take this time to just let the Holy Spirit to speak to us. If there's anything in our lives that God is asking us to give up, it could be like the rich young ruler, it could be material, but it could be also in the way we spend our time. You know, it could be, you know, TV shows that we watch, or maybe even spending too much time at work. But let's let the Holy Spirit speak to us. Father, Lord, I just pray for all of us here today, Lord, all my brothers and sisters, and our heart, Lord, and through our experiences, Lord, we know that you are the Lord of our lives, and if we follow you, Lord, will we be so fulfilled and so free. But as we go about life, Lord, there are things that have taken up our time and are hindering us from you, Lord. And whatever that is, Holy Spirit, we ask for your help to be set free of these things. And you said, with people it is impossible, but with God all things are possible. So God, just pray that this thing that it seems so hard to let go of, help us to release it to you, God, and help us to be able to just begin to follow you and seek you out. Just thank you, Lord. Pray this in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Let's turn to our slides. Let's cover our community. Let's cover those who are suffering from cancer. Let's pray for full healing. Let's pray for those who are also going for chemo and radiation therapy, that they would have the strength to endure and that they would also be healed. Cover our community who is sick, loved ones, friends who are sick, but are also in need of salvation. Let's pray for God to come, show up, for God to soften these people's hearts so that they be open. Cover those who are suffering from infirmities. Let's pray for healing as well. Let's cover those on the jobs list. Let's cover that list. Let's pray for God's provision, that God would lead these people to the job that God desires for them, for that in this time they would draw near to God, seek Him out, make use of the precious time that they have. Go to our Thursday prayers. Let's cover our mission focus. Let's cover Singapore, SPSG, Pastor Sam Kim and Annie and his family. Let's cover Indonesia, so Spin, Pastor Salomon and his wife Mimi. Let's also cover the SP Seoul plant, and that's with Eunsung and Janice. Cover prayer and healing ministries, IP, Well, Cascade. Let's pray for His anointing and protection over these ministries. Our education ministries, Noah's Ark with P. Mary Neeling, SP Youth with P. Nate and SP, and SPU with P. Ricky and P. Andrew. Let's pray for anointing. Let's pray for that the students would be able to encounter God as well. Cover our Thursday outreaches, SP Lights, as well as Homie Outreach. Let's pray for God-given opportunities and meetings and favor for our teams who are going out. Let's pray also for these teams, for God to just fill them so that they would be encouraged and know why they're doing the things they're doing. Cover the house churches today, Elements, Olympic, Robin Hood, these house churches under the leaders, that the leaders would lead the house churches into really responding over this Poverty Sunday, for that God's heart for the poor would be imparted onto them, for a fruitful time of sharing and inspiration to also respond as well. Father, Lord, we just thank you for this day. Lord, we this day may we just fix our eyes on you. Let us, all the things, our problems and stresses and issues, Lord, we confess them to you and just we lay them at your feet, God. But let us just fix our eyes on you, Lord, just as your call to this rich young ruler and to your disciples as well. And that's for us to just come and follow you, Lord. So let us be led by you this day. Every step we take, let it be directed by you, God. And open our eyes to see, open our ears to hear what is going on in the midst of our day, Lord. And give us move us, Lord, in boldness that we will respond in faith and in action as you direct. We thank you, Lord. We just pray all this in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Please continue to spend time with God and have a great day.